And good morning and welcome to each of you to this morning's service of Choral Eucharist. Today is the Sunday before the start of the season of Advent, and so today is marked as the Sunday of Christ the King. Christ the King is the theme of our glorious west window, which on a winter's afternoon is lit in resplendent colours of ruby and crimson and blue and gold. Christ the King, who is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, is the one that we wait for through the season of Advent, and yet the one who comes to us as the baby of Bethlehem on Christmas morning. But this Sunday has another name, Stir Up Sunday. It's not just a reminder to get the Christmas pudding stirred and prepared, but it's the challenge that we all stir ourselves in our own lives and attitudes so that we are ready to meet with Christ our King as he comes into our midst each day and in the midst of this service. And so this morning, let me bid a very special welcome to the boys and girls who are members of our Belfast Cathedral Children's Choir, and also to those of you who are parents and members of their wider family. Today, the children's choir are themselves resplendent in ruby-red cassocks as they stand alongside the adults of the cathedral choir. And may I add my thanks to Ali and India, who have spent many hours fitting the cassocks and replacing all the missing buttons. But more important than what the children's choir are wearing is what they are going to sing. The children of the choir have been practicing since early September, as those of you who are their parents will know well, and this morning we look forward to their singing of two special pieces. First, and it is a first, the world premiere of Gary Davidson's new setting of the Lord's Prayer, written especially for our choir. I hope this is going to become a staple on Sundays when the children's choir sings at morning Eucharist. And secondly, during communion, the children will be singing Cesar Franck's Panis Angelicus. This will be the first Sunday that many of our choir members will have sung in the cathedral, although some are indeed old hands. However, I hope for everyone, including our organist Tristan Rusher, our adult choir, and our director of music Matthew Owens, this morning will be a memorable day of beginnings. Let me also remind you of two other musical matters. Next Sunday, being Advent Sunday, our evening carol service by candlelight will start at 6 o'clock, with the cathedral doors open from 5:30. And finally, if you want to listen to more of our choir, please purchase their CD, Belfast Christmas, which will be available. And you can make it a set by adding Matthew Owen's own CD of seasonal Christmas organ music, Christmas Bells. Now let us turn to our order of service. Let me remind you that for the hymns, of course, you are warmly encouraged to sing heartily behind your masks. Let us be still. The Lord be with you. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. And so we kneel. Looking to our own hearts, we pray, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Eternal Father, whose Son Jesus Christ descended to the throne of heaven that he might rule over all things as Lord and King, keep the Church in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace, and bring the whole created order to worship at his feet, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The epistle is to be found in Revelation chapter 1, beginning to read at the fourth verse. Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and on his account all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John. Pilate entered the headquarters, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Never ask a question to which you do not know the answer. That is the advice that I give trainee barristers when I am teaching them to cross-examine. I also tell them to keep their questions short, simple, and to the point. In our gospel this morning, Pilate is cross-examining Jesus. "Are you the King of the Jews?" he asks. It's a simple question, and Pilate wants a simple answer, a simple truth. Yes or no. You either are or you aren't. Which is it? That's the kind of question I always tried to ask when examining a witness. Yes or no, this or that. I wanted a clear question and a clear answer. I wanted to eliminate all wriggle room for the witness. I wanted to possess the truth. If I could do that, then I could establish some power, control, and security. As an advocate, I know that the right question and answer can help me create the event of my choosing, the outcome my client wants, in the mind of the decision maker. Now, even if you've never questioned a witness or ever given evidence in court, I'm sure that there have been times in your life when you too wanted a clear answer and a simple truth. There have been times when you tried to categorize your life, relationships, other people, and the world into this or that, yes or no. You took your experience, what you knew, what you had been told, what you believed or wanted to believe, and marked off the boundaries of what was true. You wanted to possess the truth. I understand that. I want to possess the truth. Pilate wants to possess the truth. I think we all do things to try and possess the truth. We want to possess the truth and know that within the borders of our truth, we have given ourselves some power over our lives, some stability and security, some predictability and control. It's often our first response to the circumstances of daily life. There is, however, a dark and dangerous side to claiming possession of the truth. When we claim to be the sole custodians of truth, we put ourselves in the position of having to defend, guard, and protect that truth. We promote and impose our truth on others. Lines are drawn and walls are built. Conversations are reduced to a monologue of rhetoric, and relationships give way to either isolation or domination. And pretty soon, violence arises in the words we speak and the actions we take. Sometimes it's a violence that injures or kills another human being, but it always wounds the human soul, theirs and ours. At some level, settling for a simple truth and claiming possession of that truth is at the heart of conflict and violence. Let me give you some examples of what that looks like. It looks like migrants massed along the border between Belarus and Poland, being told the only escape from cold and starvation is to storm razor wire and water cannon to enter the European Union. It looks like people believing it is appropriate to threaten to kill the health minister because they do not agree with the measures he is recommending to deal with the ongoing pandemic. It looks like people burning buses because they object to the Northern Ireland Protocol. It looks like people who profess to have found Christ assembling the components for a bomb designed to kill and maim others as they go about their daily business. It looks like broken hearts in marriages and families and friendships. In each of those situations, someone or some group is claiming to be the sole possessor of the truth. If I have learned anything from being an advocate, it is that my clients and I have, at most, only a piece of the truth. We did not possess the whole truth. The more witnesses I questioned, the more I began to realize that the truth was never as simple as I wanted it to be, or as I tried to make it. That's not just about practicing law. It's also about practicing life, practicing faith, practicing relationships. Like it or not, it's a reality we face every day. And I wonder if that's why Jesus does not give Pilate a straight answer. Maybe that's his way of telling us that truth is never as simple as we want it to be, never as absolute as we often assert it to be, and never as exclusive as we sometimes claim it to be. He knows that truth is more than a fact, an answer, or an experience, and that it cannot be possessed. Rather, it is a life to be lived. The truth to which Jesus testifies is the God who is beyond the circumstances of this world, and yet always present in the circumstances of this world. Jesus came into the world to tell us about that truth, to show us what it looks like in a human life, and teach us how to be a part of and belong to that truth. Charles Schulz, the artist behind the Peanuts comic strip, an inventor of Snoopy and Charlie Brown, once observed that in the book of life's questions, the answers, alas, are not to be found at the back. That's a lesson Pilate doesn't seem to understand. He just wants conclusions. "So you are a king," he says to Jesus. In starting that statement with the word "so," he uses the classic advocate's trick to extract a conclusion rather than a fact. Pilate just wants to possess his truth. To seek and claim sole and exclusive possession of the truth is the way of Pilate and the way of the world, but it is not the way of Christ. Jesus never asks us to possess the truth about him or anything else. Instead, he asks us to belong to the truth, to let ourselves be possessed by his truth and listen to his voice. Never ask a question to which you do not know the answer. Here's my question for today. Do we belong to the truth, or do we live and act as if the truth belongs to us? How we answer that question will determine whose voice we listen to, the choices we make, the priorities we establish, the words we speak, and the actions we take. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice, Jesus said. So whose voice do we listen to when we act as if the truth belongs to us? The answer is our own. We listen to our own voice, and when we do, it becomes difficult, if not impossible, to hear another's voice, human or divine. When we make ourselves custodians of the truth, when we believe that the truth belongs to us, we listen to our own voice and the voices of those who think and act like us. We listen to the voice of our political party, our country, our religion, our faction, our tribe. We listen to the voice of fear and insecurity. We listen to the voice of our prejudice, our individual needs and desires, our experience. I know those voices. I've heard and listened to them. I know they are real. And they do speak a truth, but it is only a piece of the truth. They remind me that the world is not always safe and life is not always easy. Never ask a question to which you do not know the answer. But I also know this. There is another voice, a voice that speaks from a kingdom not of this world. In the midst of uncertainty, fear, and terrorist attacks, there is a voice that says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." In the darkness of death, there is a voice that says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live." In a sea of human diversity, people who think, act, and believe differently than us, there is a voice that says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." In a world with battle lines drawn and enemies named, there is a voice that says, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." In the midst of humanitarian need, there is a voice that says, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me." In the midst of today's refugee crisis, there is a voice that says, "You shall love the foreigner as yourself. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it." In the pain of a broken heart, hurt feelings, and betrayals, there is a voice that says, "If anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you." In every time, in every place, in every situation, there is always that other voice. It is always speaking to us. It speaks in today's world, in your life and in my life. That's the voice I want to listen to. That's the truth to which I want to belong. That's the life I want to live. So this morning, let me ask you, will you belong to the truth, or will you live and act as if the truth belongs to you? And as you reflect on that question, let me share one final tip from the Cross Examiner's playbook. 90% of asking effective questions is about listening to the answers. Amen.
And so, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray.
Let us pray to the Lord for the peace and power of the kingdom of God. Holy Father, inspire and strengthen the Church to work for the coming of your kingdom. Keep her ministers faithful in teaching the word of their Master and King. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Look with compassion on the world where people seek to resolve their differences by anger and aggression. Guide the leaders of the nations to follow the way of peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In our times of work and our times of rest, help us always to live as servants of Christ the King. May his loving power prevail in our families and among all who live in the communities that we inhabit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Have mercy on all who have been betrayed and abandoned by those they trusted. Comfort and save those who are falsely accused and stand alone before the powerful who have no pity. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all those in our cathedral community who are struggling with ill health, anxiety for family members, and living with bereavement, asking your blessing upon each one. We pray at this time of deep grief for the family of the Venerable Jack Patterson, former rector of Ballintoy and Archdeacon of Dalriada, as they have committed him to God's eternal keeping. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for the departed who are no longer subject to the kingdoms of this world. Grant us grace to follow their example and come in our time to share the light and peace in the kingdom of heaven, where Christ reigns in eternal glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We ask that you stand with all whose lives have been touched by personal experience of COVID-19, especially those suffering at present and those who have lost loved ones. Bless all who work in healthcare, the fields of research and vaccination, and those with leadership responsibilities in these challenging times. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Blessed be God, who enthrones us with Christ in the heavenly realms. May we feed upon the bread of God and drink the royal wine of heaven.
Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Father, almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image. Male and female, you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted, and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue, a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death, we celebrate his resurrection and ascension, and we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We, being many, are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall. Stir up, O Lord, the wills of your faithful people, that they, plenteously bringing forth the fruit of good works, may of thee be plenteously rewarded, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Christ, our exalted King, pour upon you his abundant gifts and bring you to reign with him in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.